A former career covert CIA operations officer, Valerie Plame Wilson worked to protect America's national security and prevent the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, in particular, nuclear weapons. Valerie is the author of the New York Times best-selling memoir, Fair Game, My Life as a Spy, My Betrayal by the White House, which was released as a motion picture of the same name, starring Sean Penn and Naomi Watts. She also narrated and appeared in a documentary on the dangers of nuclear proliferation, Countdown to Zero. She's an active member of the Global Zero Leadership Board. Valerie does extensive public speaking throughout the country on various issues, including nuclear proliferation and the role of women in intelligence. She's written for Newsweek, CNN, The Daily Beast, The Huffington Post, and other media outlets. She works as the Director of Community Outreach at the Santa Fe Institute, a nonprofit research think tank that promotes multidisciplinary collaboration in the sciences. She's also a consultant to Warner Brothers TV. Valerie has a bachelor's degree from Penn State and graduate degrees from the London School of Economics and the College of Europe in Bruges, Belgium. She now lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, with her two children and her husband, retired U.S. Ambassador Joe Wilson, who has his own bestseller, The Politics of Truth. Today we'll speak with Valerie about her new fiction thriller, Burned. Welcome, Valerie, and thanks so much for joining us on The Book Report.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
After all you've endured, I would have thought writing about covert ops and the intelligence community would be the last thing you wanted to do. What made you pick up the pen and create Vanessa Pearson and Burned?
Well, I still find that whole world fascinating. If the leak of my name had not happened, I would be overseas right now working for my government salary and working on these issues that I'm passionate about, making sure bad guys don't get nuclear weapons. But it didn't turn out that way, so maybe I'm living a little vicariously through my character, Vanessa Pearson. And she came about because I was so tired of how female CIA ops officers tend to be portrayed in popular culture, which is really just sort of arm candy, paper doll sort of thing. I wanted a realistic character that also entertained.
All right. Can you give us an overview of the story?
Well, in Burned, it starts off with, I don't want to give too much away, but it starts off with a suicide bomb in the courtyard of the Louvre. And that immediately Vanessa suspects that who's behind it is this nuclear black arms dealer, Boot, with whom she dealt with in the first book, Blowback, which came out about this time last year. And the CIA and the French intelligence service, since it happened on French soil, this initial attack, form a task force. And the story takes you to Amsterdam and Venice, Washington, London, and ends up in Istanbul, which is one of my favorite, most exotic cities in the world.
Mine too. Back to Boot. Is he a composite of people that you actually tried to track down?
Mm-hmm. To a certain extent, yes, but he was definitely inspired by the real-life Pakistani nuclear scientist A.Q. Khan, who for many, many years operated a worldwide network of, I like to think of it as nuclear entrepreneurship. If you had the money, he would sell it to you. And in fact, without Khan and his network, Iran would be a lot further behind in their desire and for acquisition of a nuclear arsenal. He's now under some sort of a form of house arrest in Pakistan.
I see. With Blowback and now Burned, does the CIA have the authority to read your book and demand changes?
They do indeed. It's called the Publication Review Board. I signed a secrecy agreement when I joined the CIA, and I promised never to reveal classified information, the sources and methods. And in my memoir that came out in 2007, Fair Game, there was quite a bit that was redacted that had to do much less with any national security concerns and the fact that the agency made it clear that I was not to acknowledge any CIA affiliation prior to 2002. But with Blowback and with Burned, I submitted those manuscripts as well, and there were very few redactions. They understood that it was fiction.
Right. You and your husband were involved in a very complex situation that got lots of press attention. With several years past now, how would you want this part of your life to be remembered and recorded in the history books?
I think the takeaway lesson from what my husband and I went through would be how important it is for citizens to hold your government to account for their words and deeds. That's exactly what my husband did. I was, the betrayal of my CIA covert identity was a result of that. But as citizens, you don't just have rights, you have responsibilities. And one of them is to actively participate, I believe, in the democratic process. Be educated, know what the issues are, and be engaged at whatever level you choose, because that's the only way a healthy democracy can go forward and function.
So would you encourage your twins, for example, to work for the government?
I absolutely, they're in high school now, so who knows what they'll ultimately be drawn to, but I encourage them, and when I speak to university students, I always encourage those students to consider a career in public service. It doesn't have to be the CIA, but there's obviously so many challenges that we are facing, and we really do need the best and the brightest to go into public service and apply their talents there.
You work with Sarah Lovett on the thrillers. Describe the process of working together.
Yes, Sarah Lovett has been my co-author on both Blowback and now Burned. Our publisher put us together. She is an established thriller writer, and I like to think that we both bring our strengths to the table. She really has an understanding of the craft of writing and how you pace things so that it's exciting and you're turning the page. And, of course, what I hope to bring to it is my CIA experience, both in, well, in everything, where the locales, the characters, the operations, how you recruit an asset. I wanted it to be as realistic as possible, without, because so much of what is out there is very entertaining, but it really has nothing whatsoever to do with real-life intelligence collections.
We're speaking with Valerie Plame on The Book Report. You know, I'd love your opinion on something. North Korea is in the news so much lately. It seems that it's been a really tough nut to crack in terms of intelligence gathering. Why so?
Absolutely. Well, it's not called the Hermit Kingdom for nothing. It really is a, I think of it as a cult masquerading as a state. They have such highly centralized control and a paranoia, a xenophobia about the outside world that it is not an open society where you can go in and make contacts and how you would typically recruit human sources within that milieu, within that society. Even in places in the world where we have serious, say, radical Islamic threats, you can still get, it's difficult, but you can still get in and move around that, about in that society. By virtue of its location in the world, language, and the extremely controlling aspect of the central government, very, you know, you don't just go in and go to the marketplace and start fitting in. That's impossible. And that's why human intelligence, at least, on the North Korean nuclear program and whatever their plans are, is extremely difficult.
Okay. Talk about Global Zero and your work with Queen Noor, Naomi Watts, and others.
Yeah, it's something that I have found great satisfaction with. It's, in a way, a continuation of the work I did in the CIA, but obviously in a much more overt fashion. They are an international nonpartisan group dedicated to the proposition that we can have a world without nuclear weapons. Very serious people involved, as you mentioned, Queen Noor, we have Tony Blair, Mikhail Gorbachev, former Prime Minister, President of Pakistan, Musharraf, and James Baker, many others. All these people at that level have been very close to the notion, and some had their finger on the nuclear button when they were in power. And they realize that we simply have gotten lucky. Since the dawn of the nuclear age in New Mexico, we have come close dozens of times to inadvertent, accidental, mistaken, misinterpreted, very close calls to having a nuclear explosion. And we've just gotten lucky. And in fact, with the incredible rise of terrorism over the last two decades, really, as well as the spread of nuclear technology, unfortunately, we're in the position now where nuclear weapons make us all less safe, not more so.
And any final thoughts about the book?
Just that it's been great fun to do, and it's been well received, and I look forward to coming to Miami.
Yeah, it's. I know you'll be at the book fair. I look forward to meeting you there.
Oh, same to you. Right now, it's about 20 degrees in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Ooh.
So being in Miami for that alone will be a welcome.
Well, Valerie, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.